So your film Chocolate Oyster is showing at the Sydney Film Festival this year. Mm-hmm. And you're talking, the film talks a lot about Sydneysiders trying to make ends meet. It's a bit of a comedy, but it has a dark edge to it. What inspiration have you got for this film? What has inspired you to create a film which deals with these sorts of issues?
Well, I suppose a decade of living in Sydney and the love-hate relationship that I've experienced living here, and I think a lot of my colleagues, you know, friends of mine who are in the film, also have experienced kind of the same thing. It's such a beautiful city, and on one hand, one of the best places in the world to live, but on the other hand, especially as you grow a little older and want to start, you know, buying a house or buying a flat and start quote unquote adulting, it's certainly one of the most frustrating cities in the world.
What made you want to pursue a career more broadly in filmmaking though as well? Like, what is it, the stories that you want to tell? Is it to inspire? Is it to create satire, to humorize? What's inspired you to pursue filmmaking as a career?
Certainly not satire. It's interesting that the work, you know, has ended up that way, but that certainly was never the intent. I suppose on a more kind of holistic level, I'm a bit of a Boy Scout, and I really think that certainly my mission statement, I suppose, on a broader scope, is to create work that inspires people to, you know, I guess because I'm a bit altruistic, but lead better lives, or to kind of, leave the world a better place than they found it. Is kind of my broader aim when I produce, because that's what I do for a living. But with this film, which I'm directing, I'm not sure that this film will inspire anybody to leave the world a better place.
No, maybe not, maybe not. But at least it will inform, I think, don't you? It will tell people, or maybe open people's eyes to maybe some of the underlying issues hitting some young Australians.
I like to think of this film as a bit of a time capsule. It's you know, we designed it very much to be in a documentary. I mean, it's not a documentary. It's you know, the characters are fictionalized, but all the stories and all the events that take place in the film are all real. They've either happened to me, or they've happened to colleagues of mine, or they've happened to the actors when we were developing it. So it's incredible as it seems, you know, every situation that any of the actors get into, or any of the characters get into in the film, has happened to somebody that I know. And so it's very much designed as, you know, a documentary fashion, and that's how we shot it. And it's designed to be, I suppose, if you will, a bit of a time capsule. So if you watch this in 20 years or 30 years, 50 years time, you can see what the experience, you know, what life was like living in the eastern suburbs.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully, in the last couple of years.
Hopefully in a big house in the eastern suburbs. Yes. Thinking about how hard it was. So your film is also comedic, but there are dark elements to it, as we've touched on, and it encompasses a lot of themes which many young people will be able to identify with. Do you think there's a happy medium in reality for young people these days? Like, how can a young person be happy without certain things in life? You know, how do they get by living in a city like Sydney?
That certainly eludes me to a little bit. I'm not sure if I'm young anymore, but you know, I think a lot of the topics that we touch on in the film, particularly subtextually, is in the film, in the world that characters inhabit, which I think is again very true to life. You know, they're kind of, the characters feel like they've been promised a life through pop culture and through Instagram. I mean, you know, there's a scene in the film, as an example, one of the kind of lead characters. You never see what she's looking at, but she's always on her phone, and she's lying in bed after going out clubbing, and she's really unfulfilled, and she's just there staring at her phone, flicking through things. So we can imagine she's on Instagram looking at how fabulous everybody else's life is. And I think that is certainly that's one of the main things that makes it very challenging at the moment. I think we have to, society as a whole, and certainly younger people, we have to shift our expectations as to what we want from life and what life can give us. And I think what's really interesting, and the film touches on very briefly, although it's a much broader conversation, is what is the notion of the Australian dream? And as a society, whether you be Australian or Canadian or American, anybody in the Western world, we grew up thinking it was our right to own a house and white picket fence and 2.5 kids and, you know, all these notions of what we deserve, like it's our right to have these as Australians. That doesn't exist anymore, and we have to have this national conversation. And culturally, in the Western world, on a broader level, we have to have these conversations, and we have to come to terms with the fact that that is no longer our birthright. The very what it means to be a human being has changed dramatically in less than two decades.
Interesting. So maybe young people tend to look at the negatives to all that. You know, there's no sort of security. But in some way, I suppose there's a lot of positives to not having that sort of security. Like maybe there's sort of some excitement to living in that uncertain kind of lifestyle.
Definitely.
That you
think if it's embraced, I mean, yeah. I certainly, you know, for myself, you know, I'm fortunate enough with this job. I travel a lot more than my parents did. You know, I probably go overseas 6-7 times a year, and that's for work. And I know plenty of people who do have that kind of lifestyle. So I think if there are certainly people out there who are much smarter than I am, who have found careers where they can embrace, you know, the modern world and make the most of it. But that's the core challenge. I think what's the people who really are going to benefit from this new paradigm are the young people who kind of, you know, are just entering their 20s now. You know, right. I'm a decade older than them, so I'm still stuck in the old way. But for kids who grew up only knowing Google, only knowing Facebook, only knowing Instagram, the world is their oyster.
Yeah.
They're the ones that will benefit.
We're moving more towards filmmaking as a as a career again. So where do you think the Sydney film industry is at the moment, and where do you see it going for the future? Is it thriving? Is it do you think it could be improved?
Look, on a broader kind of level, just a few weeks ago, I got back from the Cannes Film Festival, and I, with my producing hat on, again, that's what I do for a living, there's actually more demand for content now than there has been any time since I've been working professionally, which has been 12 or 13 years. Mm. So there's actually a lot of money out there, and there's a huge demand for content. Mm. I think the challenge is that there's also a lot of content, so cutting through is harder than ever. Mm. And also the types of content that you can get paid to make have really narrowed.
Yeah.
And so there are great opportunities for creatives out there and people who want to get into entertainment, you know, but again, because it's all changing, you know, the distinction between film and television is eroding, and digital content and web content is so everything is eroding and changing. I actually can see a future where especially for people just entering the industry, where if they're creative, they'll have an opportunity to be involved in filmmaking or storytelling and get paid for it, but it may not be their only job. You know, I think that's the future. Is you might have two or three things that you do, and filmmaking might be a part of it. So the great thing is 10 years ago, unless you were in the top 1%, you couldn't make a living from filmmaking. Now you can. We're entering an era where you can. The downside is you're not going to get rich from it. So, yeah, that's where we're heading, I think.
Steve, look, I think I'm going to have to finish it there. I'm sorry we can't talk longer.
No, quite all right.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for having me.